continuing to roll right along on our hour of sports coverage here, your morning drive of Southwest Kansas sports coverage. Baylen Height, Derek Ducker on the morning roundup. Thanks so much for tuning in, whether you're in the car, at home, at work, whatever it might be. We appreciate you listening through and hearing us out on this hour of coverage. Next, we hop into Big 12 basketball. We look at KU's game tonight. And now on the surface, this one might sit and say, senior night, Kansas a 9-point favorite, 8 p.m. game, prime time on ESPN. No chance KU loses this game. Well, I'm right there with you. I think that Kansas will win this game. It might be a little closer than folks think. Texas Tech still trying to fight their way for an at-large bid. It's going to be tough at 16-13, but this probably their best game out there on the schedule left to try and get a victory to, you know, improve their chances. It's going to be an outside looking in probably the rest of the way, but they'll need a win here, win out essentially, and then probably win two games in the Big 12 tournament. But this game means more for KU because it sets you up in a much better position. If you're able to win tonight, you set up a winner-take-all if Texas beats TCU tomorrow night for the conference championship. And now, Derek, we were talking about this before the show. We were really digging in and saying, okay, well, if this happens, this happens. And if this happens, this is where they fly. And if this happens, this is who's in one seed. If Texas and Kansas win both of their next games, Texas wins, and then that matchup at the end of the year, the final game on March 4th, Texas will be your number one seed in the Big 12 tournament. Now, this goes based on tiebreaker, and you have to drop it down to the team that finished third highest in the situation between both of those two teams. Well, we had to do some digging because when we go back and we look at the current Big 12 conference standings, right now it's Kansas at 12-4. Texas at 11-5. You've got Baylor there at 11-6. Kansas State at 10-6. So it would defer to Baylor. Well, both teams have split with Baylor. Then it would defer down to Kansas State. Both teams have split with the Wildcats. The last and final piece here would defer down to TCU. Texas has taken down TCU in their first game, and then they have a matchup tomorrow night against TCU. If they're able to win that matchup versus TCU, A, that would make these implications actually kind of be set into motion, because if they lose, it doesn't really matter whether Texas wins or whether Texas beats Kansas in the final game of the year. It doesn't really matter. KU is still going to win the conference by one game. But now if they don't and both teams are undefeated in this point out, it would defer down to TCU. Texas would have to have two wins over the Horned Frogs. KU, meanwhile, has split with TCU. That would mean Texas is by default your number one seed, and we had to drop down all the way to the fifth place team to figure that out. Now, there's still some room to grow, still some room to move. Iowa State could be a team that we look at as far as where the tiebreakers lay, because TCU would lose a game, whatever happens to Iowa State over their next two games. It's confusing. Point is, we kind of know the direction in which we need to look, but we don't know for certain. We were not expecting this, and we certainly weren't expecting TCU to be the difference maker as to whether or not Kansas wins the Big 12 conference. Baylor selected preseason number one overall, KU number two, and then there was Texas in that mix. Kansas State, the biggest riser, at number four. They were projected to finish last in the conference. And looking at bracket matrix, they've got K-State on the three line. ESPN, Joe Lunardi's bracketology, actually has K-State on the two line. I was surprised by that. We'll dig into that in just a moment. But Derek, after that whole spiel, after all we've talked about prior and leading up to this, what do you kind of make of the situation for KU tonight and then moving forward in their hopes of capturing a regular season Big 12 title?
Well, you did a really good job of laying out what the situation is coming into tonight, and obviously how big this game is and how big Saturday's game is for KU. They are in control of their own destiny. If they win these next two games, nobody can catch them. But if they happen to falter against Texas on Saturday, or if they falter against Texas Tech tonight and Texas wins, then they will be the conference champions. And so clearly, you know, this big game for KU tonight, they put themselves on the line. And I think the game that everybody wants, right? Basically a conference championship game on Saturday in the regular season. So awesome, awesome stuff coming up later this week. as Champ Week gets underway next week. Again, we're getting into the really fun part of the college basketball season as we're almost about to turn the page over to March. That happens tomorrow morning. I think this game for Texas Tech tonight, which, by the way, I may be in attendance. I will be in Lawrence tonight, and we haven't talked about the Dodge City game, but we'll do that a little bit later in the show there in Lawrence, and that's two blocks from Allen Fieldhouse. So hopefully I can sneak my way in and catch a little bit of this game in person. But Texas Tech is clearly a team that is playing for their NCAA tournament hopes. In my opinion, if they lose this game, then they're going to have to win the Big 12 tournament. And I know that's harsh. It is, because they have some good wins. They just have 13 losses. And again, as I've mentioned in the past, you pretty much need to be at or close to 20 wins to get in. It's possible they could maybe make it to the championship and make it in. But at that point, the only way to guarantee yourself is in is they're going to have to win the league win the league tournament. If they do win tonight, however, then they're probably looking at two games to give themselves a legitimate chance to win it. They'd have to beat Oklahoma State, which I think they're going to do anyway, on Saturday at home. And then they'd have to win one or two games in the Big 12 tournament to feel like they had a legitimate shot. If they get to 20 wins again, I think you're going to be hard-pressed to keep this game out. Keep this team out. And it's not a team that I'd want to be playing right now, trust me, because they don't have a bad loss on their entire schedule unless you go way back to November and it was Ohio State. It's really their only not great loss. That was still a top 70 team on a neutral floor. Outside of that, they don't have any other top 50 losses other than Oklahoma in overtime in January. So I just think this team does have some upside. They clearly can beat some really good teams. They beat Iowa State, who, by the way, is starting to fall apart. Now they lost West Virginia at home last night. They beat West Virginia. They beat K-State. They beat Texas. They did a couple of those on the road. They have a couple of solid wins. I think the one thing that does concern me about the Red Raiders is they don't have any great road wins other than West Virginia. It's their only legitimate road win. They struggle with a bad, bad LSU team on the road back in January as well in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. So how much can this Texas Tech team do on the road? That's what concerns me if I'm a Red Raider fan coming into tonight. I think KU wins this game, honestly, pretty comfortably, although we've seen KU make things a little more excited than they need to be in the past. But this is just another step for KU on their potential path to a Big 12 championship, which will culminate on Saturday afternoon.
I will say this, Derek, and I know the situation a little bit different, and I'm going to pull a Big 10 team out of the cards, and I've seen this in quite a few major brackets. Wisconsin has been talked about as maybe a last four in, last four out situation. They're right there on the fringe. I would argue, despite Wisconsin sitting at 16-12, and we still have a Big Ten tournament, we still have a Big 12 tournament to talk about, I think Texas Tech is the better pick despite, you know, a big string of losses. I know Wisconsin's losses haven't been as segmented as Texas Tech's has. Really shocking to see a team like Wisconsin get a little bit more credit, I think, in the most bracketology mixes. I'm not sure what the idea is there, even on KenPom. I mean, they're 18 spots higher than Texas Tech. That's a bit of a surprise to me this morning as I'm looking around. Delphi Bracketology, one that I'll refer to quite a bit, one of the better bracketology groups in the country.
Very good.
Shout out Delphi Indiana, by the way. They have them as a first four out. Arizona State floated in there. I think in a head-to-head matchup, I might take Texas Tech on a neutral court.
Oh, there's no question about it. I think Texas Tech has a better resume, too. I don't understand really where people are coming from in Wisconsin. Listen to these wins, okay? Listen to their Big Ten wins. Home game against Minnesota, home against Penn State, at Ohio State, at Penn State, home Michigan, home Iowa. Like, where's a good win? I don't see any good wins in there. They had a couple of solid wins back in the beginning of the season. They did knock off Marquette on the road. They did knock off Maryland. Both of those wins are solid, but they don't even have a top 40 win in the Big Ten. I don't know, and since the Maryland game back in December, because the Big Ten does the two random games in December, which that's a separate point. But I don't understand that. I think Texas Tech has way, way better wins. Their record is almost the same. They're better in KenPom. You know, I think this is a Texas Tech team that deserves to be considered. If it comes down to these two, which ultimately it may, it's a possibility, I don't think Wisconsin's legitimately getting a look. I think Joe Lunardi has swung and missed on that one. having him in the last four in. I think the Arizona State, by the way, they really made some noise with that Arizona three-quarter court buzzer beater, because that really changes their season. That might end up putting them over the top and into the tournament in a season where they probably were thinking they weren't going to make the tournament. So that could change things. They could have just ripped one off. You never know how many bid stealers you're going to get this time of year, too, once we start getting into conference championships, and those are always a possibility. But I just do not see it with this Wisconsin team. I'm not sure where the committee's leaning here. You know, part of it is not just KenPom, obviously. Part of it comes out to the net rankings, which are flawed no matter what the NCAA will tell you. I mean, they claim, you know, it's their own metric, and I understand wanting to use that a little bit. But they are 72 right now in net, Wisconsin is, and Texas Tech is 54. So I really don't know what Joe Lunardi's thinking on that. Yes, the losing streak was bad, but Texas Tech has better wins and fewer bad losses.
I know this started as kind of a conversation about KU and their matchup tonight in the Big 12 regular season, but this is what happens sometimes. We get down this rabbit hole and we just see things that really stand out to us. And as I'm looking at this Delphi Bracketology group, there's not really another one that surprises me, I guess, in this mix that would be an at-large. Maybe Auburn at number 11, a bit of a surprise there to see them in there as an at-large. They have had their struggles well documented this season. West Virginia actually slated at number 11, and West Virginia's had a little bit of a better run as of late, but still surprising there, because when you look at West Virginia, 19, top 20 in KenPom, believe it or not. They're 17-13. And their best win, they've beaten Auburn. They've beaten Iowa State. I mean, looking back, I don't see a big win here, except Iowa State on the road, maybe. That tells me they're that much better than a team like Texas Tech, even though, yes, they've beaten Texas Tech. They beat them there, and then Texas Tech beat them at home. What do you make of that one, Derek? That's another one that pertains to the Big 12, that while I do think West Virginia is a very good team, analytics love West Virginia, surprises me to see them maybe more so as a surefire in a lot of groups versus a team like Texas Tech.
Well, here's what teams need to do, if anything. And I know, and this is just kind of old man yelling at cloud here, but you look back at these non-conference schedules for West Virginia and Texas Tech, and they stink. They need to go out and get a premier non-con win. Now, to Texas Tech's credit, they didn't know that Ohio State was going to stink this year, and they did play Creighton on a neutral floor. And they also ended up getting Louisville in a year where they're the worst team in Power 6 basketball, and it's not even close. So some of that wasn't necessarily their fault, but those were the only games. They were the only games that they played the entire non-con that were against legitimate teams. Northwestern State, Texas Southern, La Tech, who's having a bad year, Georgetown, Nicholls State, Eastern Washington, Jackson State, Houston Christian, South Carolina State. Come on. Like, yeah, you're 10-2. It does absolutely nothing for your tournament resume. So you've got to go out and get one or two standalone games, in my opinion, if you want to be considered, if you're on the bubble. That's why I think, you know, Indiana, and I'm just kind of going back to what I'm using here, but the series with Indiana and Kansas is a great example of that. Standalone games, nobody's forcing them to play, nobody's making them play as part of a classic, part of a tournament. It's a home-and-home traditional between two blue bloods, Indiana and Kansas, and they went out and did it on their own. And neither one of those teams kind of coming into this year knew. I mean, they both knew that they probably didn't need that game necessarily to make the tournament. But it ended up being a really nice win for Kansas. I'm just saying that's the kind of stuff that these teams need to do. And it doesn't need to be a blue blood. It can be somebody more on Texas Tech or West Virginia's level. I think West Virginia has been, you talk about the pedigree that's been kind of in there. And obviously Texas Tech has been right there competing for a national title in the last 5 years. So I think these teams should give themselves more credit and go out and schedule some really tough non-conference games rather than sitting on their heels. Another one for Indiana, too, Arizona. They played two basically top 10 teams back-to-back weekends, one in Vegas on a neutral floor, one on the road at Allen Fieldhouse. That's the kind of stuff that you need to do to go on the road. And even if you don't win those games, if you're close or you look impressive and happen to sneak by and win one of them, that's how you make your way into the NCAA tournament, and that's what separates you from other teams on the bubble, is having that signature and premier non-conference win.
I'll throw two more at you, too. North Carolina, you don't know how bad the Tar Heels are going to be. Of course, that's the ACC Big Ten Classic, but North Carolina.
Xavier on the road.
Xavier on the road, right. Yep, that's where I was going next with that. So there are teams there. Same with KU. KU went and played Duke. That's a thing they do every year. Got a chance to go down and play in a very good tournament on a neutral floor. You got NC State. That's a top 50 team right now. Wisconsin, a team we've talked about. And Tennessee, obviously a loss there. Seton Hall expected to be a little bit better. Rivalry game with Missouri. I mean, look at that non-con for KU. It wasn't as great in the beginning of the year, I think, as we get to the later part of the season. Even Southern Utah, a game that was an 8-point game, excuse me, a 6-point game, a lot of people thought was surprisingly close. Southern Utah's on the fringe of a top 100 KenPom team. So impressive stuff for KU, Indiana, some of those blue bloods alike, and it helps KU if they were in a similar situation as a team like Texas Tech. You knew they weren't going to be, but if they were, you at least have that non-conference to rely on. We'll wrap this conversation up because we could really go all day, and I'm sure we will once we get further into Champ Week. That has started this week and next week, and then that just transitions us right into the NCAA tournament. Go out and watch some Champ Week games if you can. Even if it's teams you've never even heard of, flip on ESPN+. There's always fantastic games. Got a chance to catch the back end of both the North Florida game and the Florida Gulf Coast game. Bellarmine versus North Florida there, Florida Gulf Coast versus Queens. Queens, by the way, in a transition year, so they're going from D2 to D1, and they pick up a victory over Florida Gulf Coast. Two competitive games, and that's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to Champ Week. So there's my spiel on that. And maybe you'll be a little bit better in your office bracket because you'll have seen some of these teams that have come through the pipeline of their conference tournaments into the NCAA tournament. Last thing for us here, we're going to take a break, just a short one, and we'll come right back out looking at all of the matchups tonight across our WKBC networks for boys basketball sub-state preview. And we'll get you out of here with some closing thoughts and let you enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back in a few on the Morning Roundup.